Advent, as we've said in the past, it is looking back in celebration. We're thinking back to the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. And as Jeff was talking about, that kind of eschatological end times, he's coming again. We're looking forward in anticipation of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. So we're here in the present, looking back and looking forward, that multidimensional aspect of Advent season, and we're so glad that you're here. Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to start this morning, and our custom here at Adventure, if you're able to please stand with us for the opening reading of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 9, I'll read verses 1 through 7. It's page 638 in that Bible we just handed out. The Bible says this, "But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. So they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. We ask your blessing on the teaching of your word. Thank you for the peace that is available to us this morning. And I pray that as we take the time to unpack what your word says on this subject, that it would fill our hearts and it would give us greater understanding and impact as we leave this place today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you all. You may be seated. So there are obviously a lot of descriptors in the Bible for Jesus, and this is one that is just really, really meaningful. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. When we think of all the conflict in the world and all the conflict that we see on the news or as we're reading the newspaper, we see the conflict that's abroad, we see the conflict that's close to home, we're reminded of the great need in our world, the great need in our society for peace. Someone has noted that in the last 4,000 years of human history, there have only been about 300 years of peace, of the lack of conflict around the world. There's always something going on around the world that breeds this conflict that we see. But it doesn't have to be far away. It doesn't have to be something that is, you know, battles and armies and powers arrayed against each other. It can be the struggles that we face just in life, and we see the dynamics in our families and our marriages and the relations with our kids or our parents or jobs or neighbors or things of that nature. We see the conflicts that oftentimes can become a part and characterize our lives. But it doesn't even have to be about conflict per se. It can just be the need in our life with the busyness and the hustle and bustle of all the things that are happening just to like just take a breath. You know, we just want some peace in the midst of all the things that are going on. As we met together as a staff this week, our last staff meeting of 2018, and we were just rehearsing back to just the wonderful weekend that we had last weekend with our celebration services and the high school party on Saturday night and the middle school party on Sunday morning, the kids' Christmas program Sunday evening. There was just so much. It was all wonderful. It was a blessing. It was fantastic. It made us excited, but we were like exhausted. And we just wanted to have some peace and just take a breath. And sometimes we can be that way when, you know, we're out and about and we're at the mall and we're at Walmart and Target and we're doing shopping and there's just so much going on. And there's this cry in our heart, this cry in our soul, just for, I just want some peace. I just want some peace. And so as we think about this subject this morning, I hope it'll be a blessing and help. When the Bible speaks of peace, it's referring to shalom. Shalom, which is not just about the absence of conflict. So peace is not just about the absence of conflict. It is a wholeness. It's a completeness. It has to do with one's well-being and this much more holistic approach to this subject, as opposed to just we're not fighting, we're not arguing, we're not involved in the hustle and bustle. The root word in the Hebrew is shalom, and it means to be safe in mind, body, and estate. To be safe in mind, body, and estate. This idea of I'm safe, I'm protected, I'm helped, I'm nurtured. Peace. Shalom. It's been almost a year. I can't even believe it. We're coming up. I'm eager for, you know, the Facebook memories to start kicking in, you know, here in just a few weeks of my trip to Israel last January. And all the great experiences and all the great friendships and all the great places that I had the privilege to see when I was there. And one of the very first things we learned from our guide was shalom and what shalom means and what shalom, how shalom is used, you know, in country. And it's the way you say hello and it's the way you say goodbye. It's all about shalom. And when you speak shalom to someone, it's may you be full of well-being. It's not just, you know, peace be upon you. It's may you be full of well-being, because it gives this idea of this wholeness and completeness that's available to us through God. And so I want to take the time this morning in unpacking this subject, because we think in terms of being surrounded by conflict and being surrounded by busyness and surrounded by hustle and bustle, to take that idea and bring it into this subject of being surrounded by peace, being enveloped by peace, this wholeness, this completeness, and what that looks like. So just three things. So peace above us, peace around us, and peace within us. That's our roadmap for this evening, this morning. And I want to take you to three scriptures today that talk about that I hope will help both illumine and give us some understanding, but also some things that we can take with us that'll be a help to us as we enter into this week of Christmas. So understanding true peace at Advent, being surrounded by peace. The first thing is peace above us. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to be in Ephesians and Philippians and Galatians. So all three are going to be really, really close together. Ephesians and then Philippians and then back to Galatians. Peace above us. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says this: "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air." Isn't that an interesting contrast? What do we just read about in Isaiah 9? The prince of what? The prince of peace. And now we have here the contrast of the prince of the power of the air. "The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Pastor Jeff was talking about that this morning. "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." When we think about this first aspect of peace above us, we're talking about making our peace with God. You may have heard, you know, that was a saying in the old Westerns, you know, like, have you made your peace with God? Making our peace with God. Why is peace with God a necessary component? Because we are, apart from Christ, we are children of wrath, and in Christ, we are children of God. Apart from Christ, we are children of wrath. We are at enmity, all right, with him in our standing before him, and so we need this peace above us, this peace with God. It's so important that we guard against the moralism of the message. And this is something that even I have to battle and fight as I share the word and as I proclaim the gospel, that we be careful about making it about behavior versus our nature. Because the Bible says here that by our nature, we are children of wrath. I was thinking about this even last week as I unpacked the gospel, as I seek to unpack it week after week, I can fall into this trap of like, you know, we are bad and he is good and Jesus came to make everything right. And that's true, but we're bad, we're sinners, not because of the fact of the things that we do, but because of who we are, not what we have done. Check out this statement on the screen. Maybe jot it down somewhere in your notes. We aren't sinners because we sin because we're sinners. Think about that just for a minute. We aren't sinners because we sin because we're sinners. One has to do with our nature, and the other has to do with our behavior. And when we focus on behavior, well, we get to thinking, well, I can just be better. I can just be better, and I can work on myself. I can work on the things that will make me better so I won't be as bad as I once was. And what we understand as it relates to the gospel is that we are by nature children of wrath. And that's an important distinction that we have to make. When we think about this in terms of how kids act, you know, children act a certain way because that's just who they are. Kids act a certain way because it's in their nature to act that way. There are certain things that a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old is going to do that maybe a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 16-year-old won't do. It's by virtue of the fact that they are that particular age. And so we ought not get upset or bothered. And this is a reminder to me. And I remember when my youngest was little, and I would jokingly refer to this just as a reminder to myself, when she was 3 years old, will you quit acting like a 3-year-old? Well, no, she can't quit acting like a 3-year-old because she is a 3-year-old. I can't expect 13-year behavior at the age of 3. I would like to get 13-year behavior, but that's a whole other conversation. It was several months ago. I needed to get a hold of Pastor Jeff, and I called him. You know, I called him on the phone, and Jeff didn't answer the phone. Noah answered the phone. So Noah's their 4-year-old son, and I was like, "Hey, like this is PG. I need to talk to your dad. Is he around?" No, he's not. Click. And I was like, wow, okay, like what's going on there? So I called him back because I really had to get a hold of Jeff. So I called him again, and this time, you know, no answer, just went to voicemail. And I'm like, I really got to get a hold of Jeff. So I called a third time, and before I could even say anything, he says, "Will you please stop calling me?" Click. So I texted Star, and I said, "I'm trying to get a hold of Jeff, and I can't get past his secretary. Can you intervene for me, please?" Now, you know, it was a cute, and she was mortified, and I assured her I was going to tell the story, and she said it was fine. But you know, she was mortified by that. But the reality is, I wasn't mad. Noah, he was acting like a 4-year-old. He's a 4-year-old, and that's what 4-year-olds do. I was interrupting his game. I was getting in his way. Okay, and so there's this nature understanding of things, and there's this behavioral aspect of things, and we come to realize that we are by nature children of wrath. It totally changes the equation of what it means to have peace with God, because it's not about my being better to satiate him, to please him, to satisfy him. It's about having something done in my heart and soul that only he can do. When we get this, we can better understand just how bad this plight really is, and the desperate need we have for this peace above us, this peace with God. Because this is the danger. We just don't think we're that bad. We just don't think we're that bad. And we know that God loves everyone. And so we get the sense that everything's going to be okay. And that is a dangerous, slippery slope. Let me walk you through John 3, 16, 17, and 18. Okay, John 3, 16, one of the most famous verses, if not the most famous verse. When you open up a Gideon Bible, it's one thing that I love. You open the Gideon Bible, it's got John 3, 16 written in like, you know, 50 different languages or more. You can find it in there because it's such a powerful verse that compacts the gospel. Okay, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that good? Amen. God loved the world so much that he sent his son to this world so if we would believe in him, we'd have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. What does it go to continue on to say? Verse number 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So Jesus didn't come to condemn. Jesus didn't come to, you're all sinners. You're all going to hell. You're all, no, that's not why God sent his son to condemn the world. Why? We learn about that in verse 18. Check it out. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You know why Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world? Because the world is already condemned. There are people that are already living under that condemnation. You are either living under his wrath, you're either living under his condemnation, or you're living under his forgiveness. You're living under his blessing. You're living under his favor. That's it. Those are the two prospects. And we have got to come to this place where we understand that it's not about, I've just got to be better. I need something radically done in my life. And that's that transaction of grace. It's my sin nature. It's not just my behaviors. It's not the times I've lied and I've cheated and I've thought bad thoughts and I've done things I shouldn't do and I got lost my temper and I did this and did that. That was put upon Jesus. It was my guilt. It was my shame. It was my penalty. It was all that was associated with my sin nature placed on Jesus on the cross. And when I receive him in repentance, His divinity, his righteousness covers me, shadows me. It's now above and around me. I'm enveloped in that righteousness. I'm justified in the sight of God, and I am made new and made right with God. That's the gospel. That's the transaction of grace that takes place. Check out this statement and jot it down. Jesus did not come to make us better. He came to make us new. He didn't come to make me a better version of myself. He didn't come so that I'd be a better husband than my, you know, the other husbands. He didn't come so I'd just be the better employee or the better, you know, I'd be able to get my language better and get my thought life better. And no. It's something brand new he wants to do in us. Because what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2 is that it's by grace we've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. One day, I have received in repentance the gift of salvation, and as a result of that, one day I will be with him forever. And when I am in that place, when I stand before him, it's going to have nothing to do with anything that I've done. Nothing. Zero. Not the fact that I was raised in the church. Not the fact that I was born into a Christian family. Not the fact that I pastored a church. Not the fact that I was baptized. No, none of those things. There's no work. There's nothing I can do behaviorally to change my nature as a child of wrath. Only God can do that supernatural, special work of grace in my heart and life. And that is that peace from God. Above, that peace that's above us, that's that peace with God. Romans 5:1, check this verse out. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace from above? If you're not here, and you're either under wrath, you're in wrath or in favor. Which one are you? Every single person here is under one of those two things. And if you don't know, please don't leave until you do. Please don't leave until you do. Don't walk out of this building continuing under the wrath and condemnation. God loves you. He loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. But if you have not received that gift, you're under condemnation. You're under his wrath. And we want to be sure that all hear the message of good news that Jesus came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves and to receive that gift in repentance to follow Jesus, a peace that is above us. Number two, a peace that is around us. Philippians chapter number 4, just a couple pages over to the right. A peace that is around us. As I mentioned in my introduction, there are just lots of things that are always swirling around us, right? Just so much that's swirling around us. Conflict, stress, anxiety, a family squabble, a medical diagnosis, kids traveling. It was funny for us, the day of our anniversary was Tuesday, and Joshua and Gracie flew out to Illinois, and the surprise went off splendidly, by the way. So those of you that were a part of that, I didn't share it in all the services because I couldn't do it on a Facebook Live, broadcast, but Gracie surprised parents, and we put that on our Facebook page. It was super fun. So they were flying to Illinois to spend some time with grandparents. They're coming back today, and then our middle daughter, who plays basketball for San Diego Christian, she was traveling to a tournament down in Arizona. So all of our kids were on the road, and those of you that are parents, like, there's just not like worried, but it's like, man, I hope everybody gets where they need to be okay. It just kind of like was there all day, like, text us when you're there, text us when you make that connection, text us because we want to know you're okay. There are things that come up. This week, I personally and as a church had a real demonstration of this as relates to our building campaign. So we've been talking about, if you're new to us, we're moving forward with the opportunity to purchase the three buildings on this campus. And so we've been talking about this, and we're going to have a campaign that starts in late January, early February to raise the, we estimate about $1.5 million that we'll need for the down payment to purchase these three buildings, because we just leased this little space that we have here right now, and we're looking forward to having something permanent in our community. So I reached out to John at Aztec this week and just wished him well and a Merry Christmas, and hey, we'll be in touch after the first of the year. And he told me, oh, by the way, we've already had an offer on the campus. And I was like, no, you did not just say that and then say Merry Christmas to me. Like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, we have this offer, but there's some things with some contingencies and stuff that, we're not super thrilled about it. And we know you guys are interested, so we're waiting to kind of see what's happening there. And so I was like, okay, and that's one of the things we talked about. Like, in the process, this is an active listing. It's an attractive listing because it's completely leased out with tenants. And so we talked about this going into it, like, okay, like, we don't know how long it's going to take us to raise $1.5 million, and so in the meantime, somebody could come in and decide this is what they want to do. And I said, okay, God, peace, shalom. I need shalom right now. I need peace in this. And so we're still moving forward. I mean, it's not been sold, and like I said, he's not super excited about what was offered with the contingencies and whatnot. So we're still moving forward. We're still plowing ahead. But this idea of, like, things happen in life. Things come up, and we need not just the peace above us, we need peace around us, because we're confronted with things all the time. What does Philippians 4 say on this? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When we think about this peace that's around us, a couple quick things. The first one is it's preceded by joy, prayer, and thanksgiving, and it keeps watch over our hearts and minds. So when we think about what's needed for this peace, so again, the medical diagnosis, the kids are traveling, the financial, whatever it might be in our life that's swirling about us, how do we tap into this peace of God which passes all understanding? Well, the Bible makes it clear here. There's got to be joy, there's got to be prayer, there's got to be thanksgiving. If you want this, then you need to have this. If you want this to happen, this result, peace, the peace of God, which pastors are saying, there needs to be joy, there needs to be prayer, there needs to be thanksgiving. It's almost New Year's resolution time, right? Say, PG, don't talk to me about New Year's resolutions. I want to enjoy my holidays. But it's almost New Year's resolution time. And if you want to be successful with your New Year's resolutions, there's a price you have to pay for that. If your New Year's resolution has something to do about your weight, you better stay out of the drive-thru. Unless it's like protein style, right? Protein style is okay. So unless it's protein style. You got to do that. If you want to, if you want, man, I need more time with my family, more time with my wife or my kids, whatever it is. Guys, you better put your phone down. You better turn off the TV. You know, you're going to have to do, if you want this, you're going to have to do this. Maybe it's money management and, you got to stop buying Cheetos and Mountain Dew with your credit card at the 7-Eleven. I mean, whatever it is, in your life where you want this to happen, if you want this to happen, then you've got to do this. And a lot of us want peace. We want this peace that is around us, but are we willing to rejoice in the Lord always, turn those anxious moments into prayer moments, and be thankful in everything? Those are the things that we need to incorporate into our life to see the peace of God flourish within us. So what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be thankful. And then we see a peace that passes understanding. And so when you find yourself in those situations and you find yourself, man, I'm just not feeling it. Have you ever been there? We've all been there. Man, I'm just not feeling the peace of God right now. I need some shalom right now in my life. What do you need to do? Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray. Thanksgiving. Incorporate those disciplines into your life. And what we'll see is that this peace will guard your hearts and minds. It keeps watch over our hearts and minds. This peace, it stands guard. And I just love that idea of standing guard on our hearts, on our minds, because that's where the struggle is. Because when it could be this or this, we often go to the place of negativity. We often go to the place of, oh man, it's going to be bad. And it might be bad. We don't know what God's going to do. We don't know how God's going to reveal himself in certain situations. But that peace can keep watch. I need that peace to guard my heart. I need that peace to guard my mind. Do you have this peace around you? Which is exemplified in his presence. Notice this contrast. You see it? I've got it here on the screen. Verse 7 and verse 9. So verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard your hearts and minds. And then verse 9, it says, those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we have access not just to the peace of God, but even more importantly, what? The God of peace. And that's what this whole series is about. God with us. In the midst of whatever we're going through, there's this peace that's around us because he is present. He is with us. A peace around us. Thirdly, lastly, a peace within us. One that just I was really compelled to share, because when you think about shalom and the well-being and it really being something that's not just, because oftentimes we talk about peace, we talk about the peace with God and then the peace of God, but there's something to be said for this peace within and the struggles that we face internally. Because oftentimes you say, okay, I'm at peace, I have peace from above and I have peace around me, but I just, Pastor Greg, I just don't have much peace within. I'm missing that shalom in my heart. I'm missing that shalom in my soul because of the struggles, the internal struggles, the insecurities that we face, the past failures, the times that we've blown it and not done well, not honored our family, not honored our spouse, not made the right call, not made the right decision. And we carry that baggage around with us and we just want some peace. I love these verses. Check these out. Psalm 4:8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Just lie down and sleep. I have such a peace in my heart. I have such a peace in my soul. I can sleep. There are a lot of folks who don't have this because they're missing that shalom. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. 32:17, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. A lot of times we're not experiencing this shalom, we're not experiencing this peace because there's some sin in our heart, there's some sin in our life. There's some things we're engaged in secret that our spouses don't know about, our friends don't know about. We're living this double life, and there's no peace, there's no shalom. There's this war, there's this struggle because there's no righteousness there. So shalom offers a peace not just above and around but within. Galatians chapter 5, turn just again a couple pages over. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's the next one?
Peace.
Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Earlier this year, we went through a series on the book of Galatians that you can find on our website, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And we went through all of this, verse by verse, going through Galatians. But coming back to this text, we're reminded of a couple things. Number one, the battle is raging and walking in the Spirit is key. The battle's raging. We feel it internally. The flesh warring against the Spirit against the flesh. Contrary, opposition, conflict. I want to do this, but I know God's leading me to do this. And who's going to win that battle? The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans 7, and I love his testimony because we can all identify with it. The things I don't want to do are the things I do. And the things I do want to do, those are the things I don't do. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? This war, this peace, that this desperate cry for peace within. The battle is raging, and walking in the Spirit is key. What do we do there? We recognize His indwelling and we respond to His leading. Recognize His indwelling. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. When you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you received God's Spirit. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Think about that. He lives inside of you. And when He lives inside of you, He leads you. He guides you. He directs you. He prompts you. And sometimes it's this still small voice like, hey, you need to do this. And sometimes if you're like me, it's like a 2x4 to the head. Hey, buddy, go do that. And walking in the Spirit is responding to His leading. What happens is God comes tapping on our shoulder through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we're like, uh-uh, not going there. Nope, not going to do it. You know what's going to know what the result of that's going to be? A lack of peace within. Because walking in the Spirit is key. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. This weekend we celebrate peace. Above us, around us, within us, because of the Prince of Peace, Jesus. In the early days of World War I, there's a story that's told, you may be familiar with the Christmas Truce of World War I, December 1914. British soldiers are on one side, German soldiers are on the other side, and it's Christmas Eve, and the German soldiers begin singing Christmas carols in their bunkers, in their tents. And the English soldiers, they recognize the tune. They don't recognize the words, but they recognize the tunes because those Christmas songs are in many ways universal. And they begin singing the same songs as the German soldiers, but in their own language. Christmas Eve. It created such a spirit that evening that the very next day, the German soldiers got out of their bunkers, got out of their tents, and began walking across no man's land toward toward the British soldiers. They'd left all their weapons behind. British soldiers a little bit nervous about what they see coming at them. And once it was clear that they did not have any weapons with them and they meant them no harm, they got out of their bunkers and their tents and they met in the middle of this battlefield and celebrated Christmas together. They exchanged gifts, you know, cigarettes and plum pudding and wine, and they shared stories and they sang, and there's even a report that they played a soccer game together. Caused much consternation to the superiors. It never happened again because it was not anything that they were supposed to have been doing. But there was this one brief moment of unity and harmony and peace at Christmas time. And the conflict melted away in this show of brotherhood of humanity. When we think about peace, we think about peace above us. We need this peace with God. And if you don't have that peace with God, make your peace with God today. And if you have, man, just revel in that and understand all that was involved in not just providing this behavioral modification, but an utter change to who you have become in Christ. Peace around us, in the midst of that medical diagnosis, in the midst of the conflict in the marriage, in the family, and with the kids at home or abroad. That peace that's available to us because it's preceded by a joy and a prayer and a thanksgiving and a peace within us as we continue to listen to the Spirit of God. And we say yes more than we're saying no. And we're not allowing that conflict to define our standing as we walk through this life. We can have this peace within us. 1 Thessalonians 3:16, it's in your bulletin, our benediction today. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. I'm going to close in prayer, and as I close in prayer, we're going to do something that we don't do very often, but I felt led to do it this weekend. Just have a time of invitation and prayer. We're going to take just a few minutes. Jeff's going to come. He's going to play through something this morning, and if you're here and you say, I need peace from above, I need peace around me, I need peace within me, and you would like to take the time to walk the aisle, to take this front row, sit or kneel or whatever and pray, some of our staff members are going to be up here if you'd like to pray with someone. Let's take just a few moments. Last weekend of Advent, we've come through this entire series. Do you have peace above you? Do you have peace around you? Do you have peace within you? If you don't, and you want to pray, come and pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had together this morning. Thank you for the peace that is available to us through the Prince of Peace, your Son, Jesus. I pray, Father, for that peace above and around and within to each one here this morning. Bless this time of invitation. Work in our hearts. Draw us to your throne, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around.